Hello and welcome once again to The Blueprints. This is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Kawartha, Lakes, Brock, with new content for you every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We do appreciate you joining us today. And because you are here, we ask that you like, comment, subscribe, share this program. Together, we can push back against that ever-moving Liberal agenda. Of course, as always, if you can't listen or watch the program in its entirety right this second, download it, listen to it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it, it is out there. Now, in a very interesting week, as I talked about last week with Rick Perkins from the great province of Nova Scotia, we talked about energy, how the East Coast can benefit, as well as the West Coast. Actually, all of Canada can benefit from a strong energy sector, especially when parts of the world, especially Europe, are dying for energy that is ethically produced as it is in Canada. So we did say on that program that we're going to talk about the leadership and what is in store for the next session of Parliament. As you can see, we're back in studio. We're back in Ottawa. Parliament is resuming this week, and we're going to bring on a new member of the leadership team, Jake Stewart, the Member of Parliament for Miramichi Grand Lake. He's also the chair of the caucus committee.
Coordinator.
Yes, sorry. Good to have you on.
Nice to be here, Jamie.
Thanks so much. Two East Coasters, 2 weeks in a row. I love it.
That's a big deal. Listen, I'm real happy to be on here. My role on the leadership team is a caucus committee coordinator. Pretty excited about it.
So what does that mean? What happens?
Basically, the leader, our leader, Mr. Polyev, he wants all of our committees to be repetitive and in sync and on the party message. Years past, committees would have a lot of members that were organized, but potentially we'd be throwing a lot of things at the wall at once. We want to be really zeroing in on our central themes of keeping the affordability down for Canadians, fighting inflation, things like that, no new taxes. We want to really stay on that message.
Well, it seems that the message is coming on board. I think more and more Canadians are paying attention, realizing that, you know, the cost of groceries don't have to be this high. The cost of energy doesn't have to be this high. Why are housing prices out of control? The latest polling out this week, and of course the only poll that matters is on Election Day, but the latest polls show that the Conservatives are heading in the right direction. We have a new leader, as you mentioned. We have a new leadership team, which is going to help set the direction. I think things are in motion, and Canadians are looking for that alternative, and we're here to present that.
Canadians are feeling the pinch. I know in New Brunswick, I get emails and calls every day, Jamie. People can't afford their heat bills. They can't afford to put gas in their vehicles. And then we got to look at the fact that we could have had an Energy East pipeline in New Brunswick and a natural gas industry in recent years. I used to be the energy critic provincially, and I remember when those two projects failed. And they were basically sidelined with a lot of help from the Trudeau Liberal government. We're seeing the effects of that now, in particular with Russia, which they're buying a lot of they're supplying a lot of gas to Germany and France. We could have been doing that now if we developed those industries. So in New Brunswick, we feel like we're behind the eight ball, but we know that the Liberal agenda is what did that to us. I'm really excited that our leader is in favor of more pipelines and getting gas to Canadians and basically taking our own energy resources and developing them for the betterment of our own country. I think that's going to be important going forward.
I think it is really important, especially when you hear the Chancellor of Germany saying, yeah, we would like to purchase, you know, natural gas from countries other than Russia. And the Prime Minister of this country saying, no, there's no big business case for it. I don't see a future for that.
Canadians are so disappointed. And just recently we've seen the Prime Minister singing over there at a piano. I mean, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, she's had a 70-year reign. She is I'm 44 years old, Jamie. The vision I have in my head of her was there from the moment I was born. I seen her on TV. I seen her on Money. She was hanging, her picture was always in our classrooms. As much as I used to be a musician and, you know, love to sing, read the room to the Prime Minister. Wrong location for that. And I just think Canadians need a government that's really going to put the public first. And to hear you talk about the German Chancellor, that's interesting as well, because Putin's actually fueling his war machine by selling that product to our allies. We should be working with our allies, and you can see how they're on the same page as us in that. But we need a government that actually puts natural resources first in Canada.
Well, that would be actually really nice, because the revenue and the taxation that comes from that helps to to fund our social programs, helps to build our roads and bridges and pay for our hospitals. And I think the government seems to forget that the money comes from the economic activity. Shutting it down, you still have to get the money from somewhere. It doesn't make sense.
The hypocrisy of the liberal climate agenda, the one thing it never details for Canadians is where our revenue actually comes from in this country. It's always come from the oil and gas sector. It's always come from places like Alberta, which has the third largest oil reserve in the world. It's always come from there. And I think we've gotten so far into this hypocrisy, and as you know, mainstream media is involved in it too. My kids, I have four children, school-age children, that are all in school in New Brunswick, and I have to teach them all the time where revenue comes from in this country, because they don't teach that. And they teach them about climate change and the importance of the environment. As a salmon fisherman, I support the environment, I want to protect it, but we have to teach our kids where revenue comes from. We are an energy resources rich country. We've always benefited from that. It's always paid the bills, and we need to get back to promoting the fact that that's been happening for so many decades as it is.
And I think we as conservatives, we never said we're against green energy. The liberal mindset is, let's take away what we have, let's try to put all these endless grant programs and all this funding into an experimental new green energy, but the technology innovation isn't there yet.
That's right.
You know, there will never be enough wind turbines or solar panels. It should be, as we said before, the energy portfolio must be A plus B, not B minus A, because with abundance equals peace and shortage equals strife.
Absolutely. We all want to protect the environment. Conservatives, I mean, we're known as conservationists. We want to protect it. But we still have to, like, if you look at New Brunswick, we had iron ore, tungsten, zinc, natural gas, shale gas. We have potential wind potential off the coast of, like, a Fundy. We have so much potential in our province, but so many of those resources are not being developed. And what happens is, while our province, you know, fights over doing it or tries to do it, other jurisdictions do it. Places like China, with less regulation, less care for worker safety, less regulations, and then they develop the very industries that we're sitting on, just in my home province. So, like you, I want to see our country develop our natural resources so we can build a strong future for Canadians.
But it's almost like the 1% is telling the other 99% how to live, right? The 1% on whole, the individual, creates way more greenhouse gas emissions and all the carbon footprint, you name it, way more than any individual. But collectively as a whole, the 99% create more than. But it's the 1% that is telling the others how to live, but they don't change their lifestyle.
And Canadians have had enough of that mentality. If you look at the leadership campaign, if you look at our leader's message of giving Canadians back control of their lives, that resonated at a level that sometimes I couldn't even comprehend, because every Canadian that heard it took something different from it. But underlying all of that was the fact that the Trudeau Liberal government is always telling them what to do, regardless of
lecture after another.
And I think that's why our leader's message resonated thoroughly throughout New Brunswick, and of course throughout the country.
It really did, because no matter where you are, like, the, as we talked about before, groceries are out of control. Housing, you know, the Bank of Canada is trying to do whatever it can to slow down this inflation. Something our leader Pierre Poilievre warned 2 years ago that this is going to happen, and of course all the so-called experts said, no, we're going to have deflation, it's going to be, you know, transitory, et cetera, et cetera, every excuse they could. But when you inflate the money supply, what did you expect to happen?
Government doesn't even have a monetary policy. You know, like, we've traditionally had inflation of somewhere between 0 and 2%, depending on the decade or the year. But to see inflation where it is right now, you get there by printing money, putting it back into the system, and then bidding the cost up of everything that we need to live on, whether it's bacon, the cost of fuel, gas for the vehicle, groceries, the list goes on. Canadians are paying way more than they should for everything they need to live, and Trudeau's continuing to tell them what to do and how to live. And that's why this resonated so well with our leader's message.
Absolutely, because not only do we expand it, but you also have price inflation because we have more dollars chasing fewer goods.
That's right.
Raising the price for it, right? So yeah. You have both things happening at the exact same time. And it doesn't necessarily mean your house is worth that much more. It's just there's that much more money in the atmosphere, and more people, because they have more money, are buying the things that are available.
That's right. I've seen houses in New Brunswick, just in my riding of Miramichi Grand Lake, in areas where real estate was hard to part with and you didn't always get a good dollar for your property. I've seen houses that would have been worth maybe $250,000 10 years ago, or now they're selling for like $600,000. Hard to believe in a place like Miramichi Grand Lake. We have a beautiful place, but we've never had a booming housing market. Because the Liberals printed so much cash and flooded all the markets with cash, the cost went up of everything. And people's houses, it was a good time for people to sell a house, but a terrible time for people to buy a house or for a young family to try to get into a new house. And that was one of the central messages that our leaders shared during the leadership campaign.
And one of the things this government continues to do is continue to spend, right? It's one program after another. They're, of course, taking in more money than ever before, but they're still spending it at a record pace. Yeah. And until the government starts to realize that they can't spend their way out of this crisis. They actually have to have some fiscal policy here.
Yeah.
And actually think about what their decisions do and the implications that causes for everyday Canadians.
The Trudeau government has no fiscal policy. They have no monetary policy. They literally believe they can print their way out of the situation they've put themselves in. Most Canadians think inflation may have moved a bit during this period, but not the level it went to. I was in the finance committee, and every time we were going in to review a new bill, 70 billion in new spending. You know, every time we went in, it was more and more dollars that they were just printing, and there was no, there was nothing attached to it, like no parameters. It was just, we're going to spend some more money. Here you go, Canadians. Great, we're giving back. But in all, they were just putting the price up of everything else.
Well, here's my fear, and yesterday I fueled up, is $1.40 a liter in Ontario, still way too high. But my fear is there are. The conditioning that comes around it, right? The left wants high gas prices to get people out of their cars or in government transportation, right? So does this become normal? Does $1.40 just become, oh, that's normal now? In my opinion, that's still way too high.
They're trying to change our behaviors. Now, I'll give you another example, and it's in the same line of thinking, electric cars. Where I live in Miramichi Grand Lake, there's very few places you can plug in an electric car. So they incentivized getting an electric car, but then when you actually order one, it can take a year, sometimes a year and a half, for the car to come in. So you're waiting 18 months for the car. When it comes in, there's nowhere to plug it in hardly, because you're in a very rural area. No planning whatsoever. They're trying to precondition Canadians to get us all driving electric cars, but we have to wait for them to show up, and then we have no place to plug them in certain jurisdictions. So it's really, it's the cart before the horse, completely. And Canadians know it because Trudeau's always telling us what to do. And if he can't convince us what to do, he'll force us.
Yeah.
By just printing more money and flooding the markets. And
controlling your behavior through the tax code, too.
That's right.
Yeah. I always said that they're doing it to you, not for you, right? Everything is on purpose. It's planned.
That's right.
And this is following their plan. But at the same time, you know, in some cases, when you're getting lithium that's needed for these batteries, what do you need to do to get lithium in many cases? You need to use hydraulic fracking. But at one point, I'm old enough to remember, the left was against hydraulic fracking. But it's okay now with lithium. But then you can't still recycle the batteries when you're done with it to the need that is growing because of the more electric cars that are becoming on the market.
And there's a lot of lithium that, obviously the country of China has a lot of lithium deposits, and they make a lot of the, I've seen it in the car industry this year, a lot of the chips that come with vehicles. I was looking at getting a new vehicle at one point, and the vehicle was going to come in 10 months late. And when it came in, some of the technology wouldn't work because of the lithium aspects in the chip. So like our cars are being made, the lithium aspect, a lot of that is being made in China. So it shows, I find during COVID, Canadians got a real good look at how globalism doesn't always work in their favor. And I think another example I'll give you from Miramichi Grand Lake is, what do we have in Canada? I always hear the leader talking about it, cold air. So in New Brunswick, we've got lots of cold air. We've got four separate seasons. We've got a winter. People drive snowmobiles. My daughter wanted a snowmobile jacket. She likes the snowmobile. I went down to get her the snowmobile jacket. They said, we've been waiting 6 months for these jackets. So I know the guy who runs the business, and I said, how come it's taken so long to get a snowmobile jacket? I just couldn't wrap my head. I mean, I'm Canadian. We have a great winter season, and that's something I thought that wouldn't be hard to get. But during COVID, we've seen how different products were hard to achieve. So I said, where is it made anyway? China. And then it hit me. We're waiting 6+ months for a winter snowmobile jacket in Canada. Now, I wasn't faulting the guy who ran the company, but the fault is we've put so much emphasis and support on globalism that as soon as COVID hit, we actually seen how it wasn't going to serve us. And that's just, those are small examples.
Well, it also showed that we need to bring those jobs back and manufacturing back, and why it's so important to have these jobs here. So we need to make sure the environment is right to allow these businesses to come back actually make a profit and create jobs, opportunity, wealth in our communities.
That's right. And that was what I was getting at. I mean, it's hard to believe in a sense, but it kind of shocked me that day, just something as simple as a snowmobile coat. But anyway, this is great, man, being on the show. I've heard of your show a lot, and I'm glad I could be on here today with you.
I appreciate you coming on, and we should also point out New Brunswick and Ontario, two of the provinces with nuclear power. So
Absolutely.
We do have that green energy portfolio that works in our favor.
We've got Point Lepreau in New Brunswick, and we also have, we're working on some small nuclear reactors as well. There's some projects in the future. There's some hydrogen ideas. We've got some great project ideas in the province of New Brunswick. And I do want to let you know, too, that New Brunswick was very strongly in support of our leader during the leadership convention. We were probably over 70% would be the average. And my home riding of Miramichi Grand Lake was 82.1%. Wow. So there are a lot of Pierre Poilievre supporters.
Well, you chaired Pierre's campaign out in New Brunswick, so you certainly did deliver.
That's right. Yeah, we worked hard. And I mean, but we all did. I mean, you looked at that night, we looked at the results. Every province was a fan of our leader, you know, no matter how you looked at it. He won almost every riding, but just wanted to give a little plug in there for Miramichi Grand
Lake. Yes, you should, absolutely. Well, Pierre did win 330 out of 338 ridings. I think that's a pretty solid message. It shows the party is united and behind Pierre and ready to take on the Liberals.
And a fresh face. I found one of the interesting things on the campaign, Jamie, is that you could look at any room that Pierre Poilievre visited, and let's say there's 400 people in the room or 500. It was interesting to see in the lineups for a photograph when it was over, everybody get in that lineup. Mm-hmm. No one left. They all wanted to meet the leader and shake his hand and get the photograph. But what was interesting is you had people that were 18 years old. You had young couples with young kids in their 20s and early 30s. You had people from not old enough to vote yet to like 90 years old. And it never ceased to amaze me. Every generation was represented in support of Mr. Poilievre. He didn't have generational gaps. I never noticed any. Every decade of citizen, he had them. He had them lined up.
And it was a lot of new faces that we haven't really seen before.
Brand new.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
In my own riding, I met a lot of people. I have 65,000 constituents. I don't know them all personally yet. But I met a lot of people I'd never met before,
because
they were inspired by Pierre.
It's that message. It's that message.
They love his message.
Absolutely. We have to get out of here. Question period's coming out. We ran a bit late. I always seem to do this. I always say I'm going to stay on time, and then I go away after. But as you probably know, the guests always get the final word, a couple of thoughts about anything we talked about or really anything you see coming up in Parliament this fall.
Just wanted to say a big thank you to Miramichi Grand Lake. We're opening up another session. I'm just really proud to be here working on their behalf. Very proud to be on the leadership team for Pierre Poilievre, and really want to have a strong session. Want to work hard. Want to get that message out to Canadians that a Poilievre Conservative government is going to work hard to gain their trust and to get control of this government and put the Liberals out of power.
I love it. Jake Stewart, Member of Parliament, Miramichi Grand Lake, is also the caucus committee coordinator, part of the leadership team. We do appreciate his time, and we do appreciate yours as Parliament starts sitting again this fall, and we have new content. We did not stop this whole summer. New content every single Tuesday. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, share this program. Tell your friends about it, because they can download it, listen to it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. Until next week, remember, low taxes, less governments, more freedom. That's the Blueprints.